Good morning, church, and happy Mother's Day. Before we start, we have a special testimony and scripture reading. So here's my friend Ashley. Sorry. We met when she started attending Sunday services, but she also attended Alpha in our young adult group with me. And as I got to know her, I realized she had a really special testimony unfolding. So I'm excited for her to tell you that today as we talk about the compassion of God.
Thank you. Good morning, church. So almost a year ago today, I started my journey to regain my faith in the Lord by walking into Christ's community. I was searching for answers on how to become a happier and more peaceful person and mother. I tried doing therapy, I tried running, I even tried cutting people out of my life that I just thought would make me angry, and I cut them out of anger. I realized this was not helping and this was not the path that I wanted to be on and walk down in life. Sorry. This was not the way that I wanted my son to think about who I was when he grows up and tells stories 20 years from now. I knew in my heart that I needed to make Jesus a part of my life again and reopen my doors to faith. A year ago, I would lose my patience with Cam. Very easily, I would yell at him in a way that would belittle him. I would spank him out of frustration. And these are all things that I'm not proud of and that hurt my heart to talk about and think of. And the only thing that I could do is thank God for changing that. A few times after coming here, I remember Amy Dean saying something to me about how it was hard for her to release control of things in her life. That Sunday, I talked to her after service about similar struggles. And she reminded me that God is the only thing that can relieve me of those struggles and bring me peace to my heart. From that day on, I started to pray more, put all my faith in God to change how I was dealing with things as a mom, to bring me patience, and to show me how to shower my child with love instead of presenting him with stress and chaos. Today, my heart is full of grace and peace with everyone, but especially with my son. Thank you. He doesn't really get in trouble, but when he does, the discipline is a conversation. It's no longer yelling at him or belittling him. Cam is a smart, funny, and humble little boy with so much love to give. I can now fully see my son for who he is and fully embrace him in his wild and crazy energy. Matthew 18:3 says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Putting childlike faith in God has changed who I am as a person. But more importantly, it's changed who I am as a mother. Cam continues to encourage my faith in the Lord by putting my trust in God to continue to make me the mom that I am and I am proud to be.
Praise the Lord. What an awesome testimony. And I thought it would be fitting to ask Ashley to also read our passage for today as it relates to the compassion that she received and God having motherly attributes. So our scripture is Isaiah 49:13-16.
Shout for joy, you heavens. Earth rejoice. Mountains break into joyful shouts. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Zion says, "The Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, yet I will not forget you. Look, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me."
Amen. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm so honored to be speaking with you today on such a special day, especially when we have so many mothers here that have a lifetime of experience loving God and loving their children. And before I start, I want to honor my own mother, who has consistently been an image of Christ's love and sacrifice for me. She was the first person to tell me about Jesus. But more importantly, she has been the image of Jesus to me every day since I was born. Seeing her read her Bible and write in her prayer journal every night by the light of her lamp showed me what a life for God really looks like. And my grandma Cheryl, who's probably watching online, hi grandma, who shows all of her grandchildren what true devotion looks like. She has attended Mass faithfully and often for so many years. She served as a Eucharistic minister and CCD teacher in her own parish, a Sunday school teacher in our town, and she gives generously to those in need. She has served charities in various ways, and I know that every church she has attended has experienced the love of Christ in her. And I come from a long legacy of beautiful mothers, and I'm grateful for that. Amen. And there are so many mother figures here who I have been blessed by, and I've come to cherish in such a short time here. I'm blessed in general by the spiritual motherhood that takes place here. And in the scope of experience we have, I myself am a baby mom. I have a son who's about to turn 3. There he is. He's so cute. And he's crazy too. And a daughter who is 5 months this month, Ruth, Shiloh and Ruth. This transition to mom has been both the best thing that's ever happened to me and one of the hardest things I've ever done. I went from being a missionary on campus and speaking to people about God and seeing people from every faith background put their faith in Jesus, and that was so amazing, to changing and washing cloth diapers around the clock and feeding babies. Not quite as exciting, but still beautiful. And I think it's easy for moms to feel left out of the image of God sometimes. Maybe that's because we often describe God in the masculine, which he is. Or maybe it's because mothers with small children are always running out of church to make sure they're not making a scene, right? And I'll be honest and say that since becoming a mom, I've kind of felt sidelined at church. Like I'm on the bench watching everybody else play the game, breastfeeding with one arm and getting doggy piled on the other by a toddler while everybody else does the church stuff. And this isn't anybody's fault. Motherhood is very consuming. You know what your kids need, how they need it, when they need it, and it's painful to know that when you're not there, nobody can take care of your kids the way you do. But the Bible says in Genesis 1, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." We know God is a father, but if men and women are both made in the image of God, where does a mother fit in? God describes himself like a mother a few times, as Melissa said, but one of my favorite passages is from Isaiah, this passage from Isaiah, Isaiah 49, 13 through 16. So some background of this passage. Before writing this passage, Isaiah lived in Jerusalem and spoke to the leaders of Jerusalem on God's behalf. He brought a warning about God's judgment, telling Israel's corrupt leaders that their rebellion against God would come at a cost. Isaiah also said that God would use the great empires surrounding Jerusalem to judge them if they persisted in their idolatry and oppression of the poor. However, that terrible announcement was also combined with a message of hope. Isaiah believed that one day God would fulfill all of his promises. He trusted that God would bring a king from David's line to establish his kingdom on earth. Chapter 49 is the first chapter in Isaiah of this message of hope. Israel keeps failing God, running away, spitting in his face, forgetting what he said. But then when they cry out in agony, God says, "Wait, there's hope. Someone is coming to help you." This is the chapter that introduces Jesus. And this passage that is a turning point describes God as a compassionate mother. Verse 13 says, "Shout for joy, you heavens, earth rejoice, mountains break into joyful song. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted one." Two things God does here that are like a mother are comfort his people and have compassion on them. Many mothers would agree that comforting seems to sometimes be our main function. From a moment the child is born, they're looking for comfort, they're searching for comfort, and they're looking for their mother. And it seems that many mothers here, without instruction, knew just how to comfort their baby when they cried. So God is commanding us to be joyous. He comforts us in this way. And this isn't the only place God says that he comforts like a mother. In the last chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 66:13, God says, "As a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you." And not only comfort, but compassion. The first time that God describes himself in the Bible is in Exodus 34. It's like this: the Lord is compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth." This verse is held dear by God's people and becomes the most quoted passage in the whole Bible. The first word of the first and most quoted description of God describes God with a feminine word. The Hebrew word for compassionate is rachum, which shares a root word with the word for womb, which is rechem. In Hebrew, compassionate is a feminine adjective and compassion is a feminine verb. Since both men and women are made in the image of God, we shouldn't be surprised that God uses women and women language to describe his love for us. So what is this rachamim, or compassion? In Hebrew, this word is a very emotional word. It gives us an image of a mother caring for her vulnerable infant. And it is used frequently in the Bible in very emotional situations. It's an image of something that comes from your core. It is also used when someone feels compelled to move, like they have to stand up. It describes God as a mother or a father who moves to help his children when they cry out to him. In Exodus, God speaks of this when he says to Moses, "I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their oppressors. I know about their suffering, and I have come down to rescue them." Or like in the story of the prodigal son, the Bible says that the father was filled with compassion and ran to his son. He could not sit still at the sight of his son who needed him. So this compelled to move, womb-like compassion that's in the Bible, it's not just in the Bible, but it's also backed by science and experience. So I will say studies have shown quite a bit, and I'm going to spare you the boring citations, but if these studies are all from PhD-level medical journals, so if you want notes, you can come talk to me after and I can give them to you. But studies have shown that mammal mothers respond to distress calls of any infant regardless of species. So when there are yelps in the forest, every mammal mother may come running. This was recently seen in a viral TikTok, and I think I have a slide, where a mother deer runs to a baby on a porch who is crying. You can see the deer in the picture there, like, "Hey, are you gonna take care of this baby, or do I need to do it?" Or maybe you've seen this in real life when you hear a kid in the grocery store cry for mommy, and then every mom turns and looks. Brain imaging studies have showed that when women hear the cries of their infants, there's an abrupt switch in brain activity from the rested state to the attentive state, whereas men's brains stayed in the rested state. That wasn't supposed to be a joke, but it is pretty funny. Studies have also shown that when babies cry, a mother's brain lights up in two places: the supplementary motor area, which processes the intent to move or speak, and the inferior frontal area, which is related to the production of speech. So simply put, without the big science words, moms generally feel an instinctual need to grab their child and soothe them when they cry. Even Jesus himself identifies with this instinctual compassion of an animal mother when he says in Matthew 23:37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And the phrase "moved with compassion" is used many times to describe Jesus when he sees hungry, lost, or hurting people. Isn't it comforting to know that God's compassion for us is similar to the compassion we see in so many great mothers around us? God's disposition is turned toward us and ready to respond when we cry every single time. I have seen many mothers here who continually, without fail, get up to comfort their children when they cry. And if you've ever had a newborn baby, like my cousin Maddie does right over there, don't wake her up, but she's so cute. You know that no matter how hard it is to stand, you always pull yourself up to make sure your baby is content. I've seen this compassion in foster and adoptive mothers here who continue to go to hearings and visitations for their children when it is so painful to watch these babies cry for broken families. I have seen it in the mothers here of those who have children who are alcohol and drug addicted, who continually receive their children back into their homes and weep and pray over them. I have seen this compassion in the mothers here who have children with special needs, medical needs, or severe mental illness, who attend to their children's cries every single day with a steadfastness that can only come from the heart of Christ. I have seen this compassion here in mothers who cannot have biological children, who treat the church's children with the same love and compassion they would give their own sons and daughters. Mothers, every time you kneel to change a diaper, tie a shoe, kiss a scraped knee, pick up a toy, have a hard conversation, or pray for the thousandth time that your child will get better, you are an incarnation of the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how much more will it be rewarded when only our little ones see it? Yes, proclaiming God's kingdom on stages or influencing thousands of people may sound like the real work of God, but the Bible seems to say quite the opposite. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't do it in such a way to be applauded by people. Those that do have the reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Mothers don't receive their reward in full here on earth, but what good news that is. When we show our compassion to children in the secret place of our homes, we have no reward from men, but service to those who need us is the very heart of Jesus. The author of The Jungle Book famously wrote, "God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers." While this quote is not theologically perfect, it contains a very heartfelt truth. So many of us have seen the compassion of God moving on earth most tangibly through our mothers and mother figures. But the next verse of Isaiah 49, verse 14, is a rebuttal. Israel doesn't feel this motherly compassion, and so they say, Zion says, "The Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me." When you're in a dark or scary moment, has your heart ever cried out for your mom? Like you're a baby crying for your mom, and maybe no deer or any other mammal is running to help you? Israel felt this way, away from home and longing for comfort, crying out for God's help. God's response to this is interesting because he gives a very intimate picture to show just how much he cares for Israel. The first part of verse 15 says this, "Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb?" The image of nursing in the womb is one of God sustaining us, being deeply connected to us, and comforting us. When God says he is like a nursing mother, he shows us a picture of him sacrificing his own body to sustain us. Studies show that producing breast milk consumes 25% of your body's energy, whereas your brain only consumes 20. And the metabolic energy used to feed a child for one day is the same as walking for 7 miles. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Not only that, but the sustenance that mothers give their babies through nursing is tailored to their need. If your body detects sickness through a baby's saliva, it kicks up antibodies to fight it. And if it's a hot day, your milk increases water supply to hydrate your baby. And if your baby needs to gain weight, it will make your milk fattier. I could go on. All this to say that nursing an infant is a profound image of God knowing what we need and sustaining us through his love. The second part of this verse is a rhetorical question. Can a mother forget the child of her womb? The answer is supposed to be a resounding, of course not. The womb, the rahem, sustains a baby's life. The mother sacrifices her body, her mind, and her whole life to sustain a baby that she carries. This happens without any cognitive choice on a mother's part. The moment a woman is pregnant, every organ, hormone, and body part begins to shift to protect and sustain her baby. What a beautiful image of Christ's sacrificial love, his rahamim. Mothers face so many uncomfortable symptoms to ensure the health and safety of their baby. And there's such a wide range of horrible pregnancy symptoms that I could stand here all day and not even scratch the surface of what some mothers here have experienced. Some of us bear the scars of pregnancy in motherhood from head to toe. How can you forget the child of your womb when your body shows you every time you look in the mirror? God is not only showing us an image of his nurturing, sustaining nature, but he is showing us that he is connected to us, even when we can't see him. He is more connected to us than a postpartum mother nursing her newborn baby. This connectedness may go farther than science has ever understood before. In pregnancy, something takes place called microchimerism. Microchimerism is the presence of cells from one individual in another genetically distinct individual. And this happens with mothers and babies as early as 4 weeks pregnant. So there is a profound connectedness between mothers and their children, so much so that the cells of our children live in us long after we deliver, potentially for the rest of our lives. So when God says he cannot forget us, as mothers cannot forget the child of their womb, it is not a small thing. Even if our brains forget a baby we lost, our body still remembers and carries that baby with us. The Lord is near to all who call on him in integrity. Psalms 145:18. Lastly, the womb and nursing are images of Christ's comforting love. Can you imagine being in the womb for just a minute? It's quite literally the most comfortable place a person could be. It's cushioned, temperature controlled. It's like a warm bath with a white noise machine. Low lighting. You have no responsibilities. Sometimes being in the rahamim, the compassion of God, feels like being in the rahem, the womb of God. I could be in my worst anxious moment, crying out to God, praying I can fall asleep, and only he can bring me the peace and the comfort that I need. So often, the only thing that can comfort a baby is mom. You can ask any one of my babysitters who call me panicked with screaming children in the background. Moms are special. Our very biology makes us the perfect match for children who need us. So often we can overlook this biology because it is uncomfortable to talk about. But God talks about wombs and nursing in his word. Women are made with special gifts, and whether you're a bio mother or not, so many women have a spiritual mothering gift to help those in need. And our broken world needs your compassion. I have known so many women without children who offer connection, comfort, and nurturing to those who need it. And this form of mothering can make a lasting impact and has made a lasting impact on me. In Isaiah 66, the passage that says God will comfort us like a mother, it also paints a beautiful image of the church loving like a mother. Jerusalem, which is an image of Christ's church, is said to help those crying out in agony. Here's what it says the church does for those in need. The church will nurse them, carry them on her hip, and bounce them on her knee. And wow, do I see that here in our church. From those who with such patience work in the children's ministry, to those who do not hesitate to grab up any crying child and bounce them in the back of the church. Actually, on one of our first Sundays attending here, Pamela grabbed up Shiloh at 3 months old and held him for much of the service without even knowing us. She even gave him a big kiss on the face before we left. What a beautiful image of what this church has been for us. What a beautiful image of Christ's compassion that moves so freely through both the men and the women here. This compassion transforms lives, and it's definitely transformed ours. But a group of you might have something to say to me about all of this. Your mom may not have been stirred by compassion to help you, to love you, to nurture you. You haven't felt an instinctual or sacrificial love that comes for you when you cry out. Or maybe you've lost your mom and you can't feel her compassion reaching you now. The second part of verse 15 addresses this and says, can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, yet I will not forget you. Look, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. We live in a broken world with so much pain and betrayal. Some of you haven't experienced a mother's love. But God has not forgotten you this Mother's Day. He shows you this by engraving you on the palms of his hands on the cross. Mothers go through the pain of childbirth to bring their babies into this world, and self-sacrificial love builds through pregnancy and culminates in the most intense natural experience a person can go through, labor and birth. And we all honor our mothers for what they went through to bring us into this world. But someone sacrificed even more than the pain of pregnancy, labor, birth, and nursing combined. Jesus is talking to a Pharisee, and Jesus tells him, you must be born again. The Pharisee says, how can anyone be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? While your second birth is not one that takes place through the physical rahim of your mother, it is equally as real and even more real because it takes place through the rahamim of your God. Jesus went through agonizing pain, and when it was over, to make sure he was dead, John 19:34 says, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water both came out. Our own mothers did this too. When blood and water poured out of Jesus' side, he made a way for us into a second birth. Christ's agony allows us to be born again and have a fresh start so we can live as children of God. He engraved us on the palms of his hands, and his compassion for us is as permanent as those nail scars. God's heart of compassion will only be satisfied when we don't feel the pain and longing, crying out any longer. His cross made a way for this reality. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. In all these passages, and there have been so many, Christ says to you, look at my hands. You have not been forgotten. I have heard your cries, and I love you even greater than a mother loves her own child. Come to me and be born again. So today, we honor the mothers that give so much from the compassion that God has placed in them. Mothers, too, are made in the image of God. And so many of us came to the cross through our own mothers. But ultimately, we honor Jesus on the cross. His compassion is what mothers are an image of on earth, a compassion that stands up when he hears the cries of his children again and again. And even the great compassion of a mother may fail, but Christ's compassion for us never does. So on this special day, I wanted to call all mothers, mother figures, or future mothers forward to the altar to receive prayer. I wanted to say a special prayer over you. So if you would come now, mothers, mother figures, future mothers, and the worship team as well.